Most of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ are illustrations which are given to give a particular meaning to a truth that Christ is seeking to bring forth. However, here in this parable, I believe that he's using an example from everyday life. He's using an example from an actual experience in order to teach his people. You see there at the commencement of our reading in verse 19 that he refers to a certain rich man. And then in verse 20 he refers to a certain beggar. Therefore I believe in this parable that he is seeking to teach those that are gathered around a particular truth from a real life experience. Here in this parable we're brought face to face with the reality of death. And we're brought face to face with the great truth that there is life after death. The woman of Tekoa, in response to the king over there in 2 Samuel 14 and 14, she says, "We must needs die." And here in this passage, we are brought to our attention the account of two very different men. Two men who lived very different lives here on earth. Yet they had one thing in common. And that is that they both died. And may we never lose sight of the fact that no matter who or what we are, no matter what stage in life we have reached, there is one thing certain, that we must die. Like these two men, we must pass the way of death. For some, it will be in old age. But sadly, for others, it will be in youth. And we are here tonight in health and strength. Yet the reality is that tomorrow, we find any one of us in death. There is that appointment. That appointment that we all will keep. I'm sure we have all plans made for this week. There are places that we plan to go to this week. There are things that we plan to do this week. There are appointments that we plan to keep. Some of those appointments may fall by the wayside. But not so when we come to the matter of death. When death comes our way, we cannot say to it, "Come another time." We cannot stay the hand of God in death. We've been blessed to see the start of another new year. Yet I wonder just how many of us will be able to come to the end of this year and see another new year in the Lord's will. We all can think back over the past year that has gone into eternity. And those who were with us this time last year, yet today, their seats are empty. And that can so readily be the case for each one of us. We can be so taken up with living. We can be so consumed with the affairs of this life. And the necessary things that must demand our attention. And yet fail to realize the reality of death. Bishop Ryle, that godly Church of England Bishop of Liverpool, said he would live well who would think more of his last days and keep it his company keeper. Death often puts things into perspective, doesn't it? How often when someone dies and often suddenly you hear the exclamation, "Oh, it makes you think, doesn't it?" It makes you realize what really is important in life. But it's not the matter of death that we want to consider tonight. But rather it's the matter of life after death. This teaching here of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly shows to us that Death is not the end. There is something after this. You remember what Paul said when he wrote there to the Hebrew Christians over in Hebrews 9. He said, it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. My friend, tonight as you sit in this meeting without Christ, it's the after this that you need to think about. It's the after this that we need to be concerned about, because we've read tonight of two men. Yes, they've lived very different lives here on earth. One was rich and one was a beggar. One had all the pomp of wealth, yet one was a pauper. But both had an existence after death. And it is the final destination of this rich man that we want to consider tonight. This man who we read of went to that place called hell. Oh, I know it's not a popular subject. It's not a subject that probably won't be preached in too many churches across our land tonight. Many of the new evangelical churches that have sprung up, they don't want to preach about hell. They'll accuse you of just trying to scare people. They'll accuse you of trying to bring people into some false sense of profession. My friend, that's not what I want to do. It's interesting when you consider and when you, through the earthly ministry of Christ, he preached more often on hell than he did on heaven. And it was in hell that this rich man found himself. He had all he wanted in life. As we read there in verse 19, he fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed well, he was fed well. Yet he went to hell. Why? Because of some terrible crime that he had committed. Because of some heinous sin that he took part in. No, he went to hell because of unbelief. He didn't believe that he needed a savior for his soul. He believed that he could get through life just the way he was, and that when it would come to death, it would all work out. But it didn't. And so often, many people today, and you talk to them about the things of God, that they believe they'll just live life as they please, and it'll work out all right in the end. I remember talking to a Roman Catholic man one day. A very devout Roman Catholic. And he went over all the things that he did. And if there ever was a man who could get to heaven by works, then it was he. And he said to me, Garth, in words I'll never forget, he says, I believe when it comes my time to die, I don't think God could turn me away. Oh yes, we talk about the Roman Catholic being blinded by works, but how many Protestant people blinded by their own self-interest and think it'll all work out in the end, but it didn't for this man. As we come to consider this passage tonight, as we come to consider where this man is, I want us to consider the subject that I've entitled, A Glimpse into Hell. A Glimpse into Hell. I believe this passage gives us one of the most graphic descriptions of that awful place. Notice some things with me as we view this place, as we consider this passage together. I want you to notice, first of all, with me here, that hell is a place of sensation. You see, in hell, this man had all his senses about him. He had all his faculties that he had on earth. Look at verse 23. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. He could see. And then we come to verse 24. Look what it says. And he cried and said, he could speak. Further on down in the verse, he could feel pain. He says, I am tormented in this flame. He also had desires. He had desires that Abraham would be sent to reach his family. He had desires that Lazarus would be sent to dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. He had the ability to think and to express himself. He had as well, in verse 25, the capacity to remember. What does this teach us? This teaches us that hell is not some place where we'll live in a semi-conscious state. Hell is not a place where we will dwell and your senses will be dulled. That somehow, because of the intensity of the suffering there, that you won't have all your faculties about you. This is, my friend, the sinner that leaves this world behind and goes out into God's great eternity and goes into hell will be as alive as they are this very day. Don't believe the lie of the devil. When he comes to you and he says, well, if there really is a hell, well, don't worry about it, you'll be burned and that'll be it. Not a bit of it. My friend, you die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Not having put your faith and trust in him alone for salvation. In hell you'll be very much alive, just as this rich man was. In hell the sinner will be conscious of every pain and of every agony. Aware of every pang that'll rend the heart and body. This rich man didn't believe. He didn't believe in such a place called hell. And if there was such a place, he didn't believe God would send him there because of all he did. He didn't see his need. But he sees his need now. I wonder tonight, as you sit in this meeting, do you see your need to be saved? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, yes, okay. We accept the truth of hell, but we'll get there sometime and we'll get it sorted out and it'll be all right in the end. I'm sure this rich man maybe had those intentions as well. But in hell, it was too late. Too late for this man. Now he sees his need. Now he realizes that he would be as alive in hell as he was on earth. But all the opportunities to get right with God were past. All the times when people spoke to him about salvation, they were gone. Never again would this rich man hear the call of God. Never again would this man hear his need to be saved. No more would friends witness to him No more would he hear any preachers preach to him about hell, the warning to flee from the wrath of God, because it was too late. Oh, sinner friend in this meeting tonight, listen to the testimony of this man in hell. Hell is not a place of annihilation. Hell is a place where you will be every bit alive. And like this rich man, you'll be able to see, you'll be able to hear, you'll be able to speak, and you'll be able to feel pain. How often you've heard from this pulpit, and how often, no doubt, you've heard from friends and family of your need to get saved, your need to get right with God, of your need to turn to Christ and turn from your sin. And you've done nothing about it. May it even be. May it even be that here tonight there's someone who doubts the very existence of such a place. Listen to the testimony of this man. Testimony of the rich man in hell. And flee from your sin. And flee to Christ. Don't for one moment. Don't for one second entertain the thought that somehow when you come to death and you comes your time to die, that'll be it. I remember speaking to a man actually when we were on outreach over in Killaloe. That's exactly what he said. Well, don't worry about it, son. You can still hear him saying it. It'll be all right, because we'll be burned and that'll be it. Oh, sinner friend, tonight, that won't be it. Hell is real. It is a place of sensation, a place where you'll have all your faculties, a place where you'll have all your senses. Hell's not only a place of sensation, but as we consider this passage a bit further, we see that hell is a place of separation. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That great gulf there, it speaks of a chasm. And the sense of that word fixed, it's something that's immovable. It cannot be taken away. Because you see, there's no coming back from this place. I'm sure you've heard it. That, well, if you go to hell, you'll get another chance. God will give you another opportunity. You've seen that he was real, and he'll give you another opportunity. My friend, the Bible speaks nothing of second opportunity in hell. The separation of this place is eternal. This rich man was lost, and he was lost forevermore. He was eternally separated from his family and from this earth. All the pleasures that he enjoyed, all the luxuries that he had at his disposal on earth, were no longer available to him. Oh, this man could have flicked his fingers. He could have whatever he wanted. He could have all things. All the wealth of this world to enjoy. Yet no more in hell. If could never enjoy the beauty of God's creation all around him. He would never see the rising of another sun. He would never see the setting of the sun against the western horizon. All the things he took for granted on earth would no longer be his portion in this place called hell. And in the midst of it all, this rich man realizes that he'd never be in God's heaven. He cries out to Lazarus there in verse 24 that he may dip, that he would come to where he was and dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. This man realizes he's here for all eternity. Yes, there's separation from all the things we've enjoyed in earth. And sinner friends, tonight you could have a good life. Everything could be well with you. Perhaps it is even with you. You don't really want for anything. Life's good. Oh, but my friend, tonight, there's a greater separation in hell. And that's a separation from the presence of God. The book of 2 Thessalonians. But here in this book, it talks about a separation from the presence of God. Oh, it's one thing, my friend, to be separated in death from family. It's one thing to be separated from all of those things in this earth. But in hell, there's a separation from the very presence of God. You're here in this meeting tonight. And God is here. God, by his Holy Spirit, is speaking to your heart. I trust that you will heed. Here you are sitting tonight in this church. The presence of God upon you. But not so in hell. Not so in hell. Separated from the presence of God. Oh, no longer will the sinner in that awful place ever enjoy the mercy of God, the grace of God. No longer will they hear the call of God. The psalmist could say, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, but not so in hell. Not so in this awful place. A place where God has forgotten to be merciful. Oh, my friend, tonight, that you would realize just the awful truth that hell is a place of separation. A separation, yes, from all we enjoy in this earth, but far more. A separation from the presence of God. There'll be no more churches. No one to hand you any more gospel tracts. No one to read the Bible to you. No one to speak to you about the things of God. What do you have to do in order to go to this place of separation? What is it that you must do in order to go to hell? Nothing. Nothing. We were born in sin. Sinful sons of Adam's race. God could have damned each one of us in hell forevermore the day we were born, but he didn't. What do you have to do to go to that awful place? Just keep doing what you're doing. Disregard every gospel invitation you've ever heard. Laugh at everyone who tells you about the need to prepare, about the need to get to God. But in order to escape that place, there is something that you must do. As the prophet Amos cried out, "Prepare to meet thy God," you must turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Repent and believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Hell, it's a place of sensation. It's a place of separation. But notice again with me that hell is a place of suffering. Look at verse 23. Luke 16, verse 23. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." Literally, that word means torture. And come down to the end of verse 24, he says, "For I am tormented in this flame." The tense of this verb, tormented, it means that it's ongoing, it's continual. It's not just for one moment and then it's past. It's an ongoing torment. Sometimes we hear people refer to hell on earth. My friend, nothing will ever compare to the suffering that the lost sinner will have to endure in that awful place. It's a place of unquenchable fire. Listen to what Mark says, writing in his gospel. He says it's a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of unquenchable thirst. This man was thirsty. Such was the heat and the intensity. And yet there was no one to quench that thirst. It's a place of unspeakable pain and misery. Perhaps all the sufferings of hell, the greatest suffering that the sinner will have to endure, it's that of memory. Come with me to verse 25. Luke 16 in the verse 25, look what it says. "But Abraham said, Son, remember." Hell is a place of unremitting memory. There'll be no memory loss there. You'll remember every gospel sermon you ever heard. You'll remember every time someone witnessed to you. You'll remember every gospel meeting you sat under. You'll remember every gospel hymn that was sung. You'll remember every time God spoke to you and showed you your need to be saved, but you did nothing about it. What an awful thing. What an awful thing it is, would it be for anyone in this meeting, and I pray that would not happen, that in a lost sinner's hell you remember the preaching in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, when week by week you heard your need to be saved. And week by week you walked out of that door unmoved, not willing to get right with God. Mark talks about the worm, as we've mentioned, that dieth not. And you see, sinner friend, tonight, as the worms cling to the dead body, so the worm of conscience will cling to you in hell. every day, every moment. You won't have cause to forget. The rich man remembered his entire life. He remembered all that he had. And what torment he had to endure. Oh, what an awful sight we have viewed tonight. As we've glimpsed into this place called hell. We've seen it as a place of sensation. Where we'll be as alive as we are tonight. Where the sinner who goes to that awful place will be able and will have all the use of all their faculties. A place of separation. There'll be no coming out of that place. There'll be no second chance. There'll be no opportunities there. A place of suffering. Place of unspeakable torment. Praise God tonight. You need not go to that place. You need not join the rich man. Praise God tonight. You can go to heaven. Not because of anything good you have done. But if you come in simple childlike faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. And turn from that sin and turn to Him. Then He has promised to give you life. Eternal life. He has promised you a home in heaven. And hell need not be your abiding portion. The Lord Jesus Christ in His own body on the tree bore away our sin. He suffered your sins and mine that we need not suffer in hell. We've had to say tonight, yes, perhaps it hasn't been the most pleasant. But we've considered tonight it hasn't been the most pleasant. But praise God. Tonight finds you in the place where God would speak to you. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, I would encourage you tonight. I would urge you. Get right with God tonight. Get right with God now before it is forever too late. Come tonight, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Turn from sin. And turn to Him and Him alone for salvation. And heaven will be your abiding portion. You'll never taste of hell because Christ has tasted of it for you. I wonder tonight, will you come? I wonder tonight, will you turn your back on sin? I wonder tonight, will you get right with God? He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Not another day. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I wonder, will you come tonight and be saved? Harden not your heart. Sinner, get right with God tonight. Before it is too late.